can say to Monique is, I'm scared of you. Praise God, praise God. I was watching Monique during the praise and worship time of our service. I did not realize that she would be the one who would give special music, but the thing that I noticed about you is you are a worshiper. Girlfriend worships. She doesn't care what's going on. She stood up and she got into her groove in the praise to worship. And the beauty of her singing is but an extension of her connection with the transcendent. So praise God for you. God bless the name. And I'm a bit intimidated by what has gone on already. I don't have the sound effects ability of Latrice during the, you know, so I'm just going to do what I do. You know, I can't make the giant fall and none of that stuff. But praise God, I am always in awe of the gifts God has given to the body of Christ. And they are there for our edification. I always feel when I am involved in spiritual emphasis weeks that I receive far more than I give. And so it was this past week as you came out night after night. Pastor Wright will tell you that the minister is the beneficiary of the movement of the Spirit of God as much as the congregation. There is an alchemy in preaching. Paul called it the foolishness of preaching, but God uses it to vivify the human heart. Now, I want to talk today on the subject, walking with the blessings of the blessed hope. Walking with the blessings of the blessed hope. My wife put her cell phone on speaker because it was my oldest son, my 30-something son. And he was sobbing. And Barry is not a weeper. Barry has my stoical personality. And even growing up, sometimes when you would discipline him, spank him, he would not cry. So when a 30-year-old man is sobbing, he has the full attention of his parents. He had gone to China to visit with his younger brother, and they had traveled around Bradford, named after Elder Charles Bradford, is teaching in China, fluent in Mandarin, and he and his brother were having a good time, and they landed in Hong Kong, and at 12:15 a.m., Bradford said to Barry, they went to a hotel, I'm going to go down the street to that restaurant we saw to get something to eat. And I'll be back in 15 minutes. Barry, it's past midnight, went to sleep, but he awakened at 4 a.m., China time and Hong Kong time, and went in to check on his brother, and Bradford had not returned from his trip in a strange city. His passport was there, his cell phone was there, he had just left to get something to eat. Well, Barry was concerned, but when 8 hours passed, and Bradford had still not returned to his room, he decided to call Mama and Daddy. he was sobbing because he's a little more savvy about life than his younger brother, who is like Joseph. You know, Brad is, he thinks, you know, everybody's in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. You know, he's, you know, Barry was saying, explaining, you know, people would try to say, why don't you get in the car and ride with us and those kinds of things. And he said, I'd have to keep Bradford from doing it. He thinks that everybody is saved. Well, needless to say, we were devastated by the news. His mom and I embraced. We began calling friends in the embassy, calling contacts, trying to find out what is happening. And there is a phenomenon known as anticipatory grief, where you start playing the funeral before you see the body. And I was wondering about, you know, will they ever be able to find it? I thought about Boko Haram, which was in the news. I thought about ISIL, which was in the news. I thought about how people in many areas are not that kind to Americans. And then I began wrestling with, what do I want to do going forward? All of these thoughts flashing through my mind. Do I quit my job at the Senate? What do I do? Well, 9 hours after he left, he came walking into the hotel room as if nothing had happened. I mean, these are educated people, okay? Barry begins sobbing for joy. And what did they let you go? You know, what happened? Bradford had run into a friend from the University of Chicago. And they had taken off at 12:30 to see the town. And he was just getting back. Duh. Is there any way to notify your brother that you're okay? You said you'd be back in 15 minutes. Bradford said, well, I'm on my own over here, and I'm not accustomed to having to be accountable to anybody about my whereabouts. And I won't tell you what I had to say about that. But it was a reminder to me that this world is not our home. And it was a reminder to me of the hopelessness that is possible in our lives at any moment. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for who knows what a day will bring forth. David said in the 27th Psalm, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Tacoma, this world is not our home. And God has blessed me to live long enough to really comprehend that fact. I didn't always feel that way. I used to think if I could just get this kind of house, this kind of salary, this kind of car, it would be heaven on earth. The devil is a liar. I hang out with multi-millionaires. We do in the Senate financial disclosures. Even the little chaplain has to do a financial disclosure. And the people I hang out with are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Some of them don't even know how many homes they have. Right? And yet I see the limitations of wealth. If money could keep you here, Aristotle Onassis would still be alive. One of my dear, dear friends, multimillionaire, faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, has led African heads of state to Jesus Christ. My 12 years in the Senate, he's only missed one Bible study in 12 years. And that was when his son was killed in a plane crash. And he had to attend the funeral. This world is not our home. And the older you get, the more you realize it. We got to patch up these old bodies, Pastor Wright, do the best we can. Put a little bow tie on the camouflage stuff, We do what we can. But I've discovered that these bodies are tents. Another multimillionaire friend of mine had come to visit and we were having a wonderful time, but then he went to see the physician. That I'll be, just going to have a little visit to the physician. And when we went to lunch in the restaurant, he was pushing his food around on the plate. I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "These bodies betray us." He'd just been diagnosed with cancer. And he recognized that these are tents. Paul says, if these earthly tents are dissolved, oh, bless the name of Jesus, we have a building. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We have, I'm tired of this tent. We have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want to go to a land where I don't need an alarm system on my car. I want to go to a land. We lock up. Have you locked the front? Is the top lock? What kind of world is this that we're living in where you watch it? Well, make sure the top lock is locked and put the alarm on. Lord have mercy. Although I'm always afraid that when thieves break into my place, they're going to be so upset because of the little I have that they're going to torch the place. But then I lock it up anyhow. Lord have mercy. And the thing that sustains me now is the thing that once terrified me. Oh, we call it the blessed hope, but the truth of the matter is it was not always the blessed hope for you and me. My biggest fear when I was growing up was the investigative judgment. God is just waiting to catch me doing something wrong. He said, "Oh yeah, Barry's fine now, but just wait. We're going to take this guy out." That's what I got from the sermons. And I remember, I'm going to shock you. I remember the first time I sneaked into a movie theater. Don't look at me like you all sanctified. Somebody's been there, done that. I don't even remember what the movie was, because my mama told me, if you ever go to the movies, Jesus will come while you're in there. I'm terrified. I'm serious. I don't even remember the movie. I'm there praying through the movie. Oh, Lord Jesus, please don't kill me, please. When I finally left, as the credits ran, I walked out of that movie saying, "I'm alive! I'm alive! I'm alive!" Oh, no, it wasn't the blessed hope then. It was a bullet I was hoping to dodge. But the longer I've lived, the sweeter Jesus has become to me. I didn't know him then like I know him now. And Pastor Wright, I've reached a point now where in the morning, rising up a great while before day, I like to just go to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me. Oh, yes, he does. He talks with me. Sometimes when I'm driving in, he will tell me, the prayer you prepared is not the one I want you to pray today. And then I'll start taking dictation. He talks with me. And he tells me, I am his own. And the joy, that's what it is. That's the only word I can describe. The joy we share. As we tarry there, none other has ever known. He keeps me sane in this crazy world. I'm telling you, I am from the hood. There's still enough of it in me. You know, I'd go postal if it was not for the fact that I am walking in the blessings of the blessed hope. Oh, it's a blessed hope. We need to walk in the blessings of the blessed hope because the blessed hope brings us purity. Christ didn't die for me to just be sometimes up and sometimes down and sometimes leveled to the ground. The redemptive power of Calvary was intended to enable me to live a victorious life and, in the words of Romans 8, to be more than a conqueror. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Didn't have a daddy in the home, but I'm a child of the Most High God. Behold, now are we the sons and daughters of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, we got it on the screen here. I praise God. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But, verse 3, we know that when he is revealed, praise God, these tents that I'm doing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, hallelujah, as he is. Oh, bless his holy name. And everyone who has this hope in him, oh, what a blessed hope. If you walk in the blessing of this blessed hope, it will purify you, purify himself or herself just as Jesus is pure. You begin to see sin like Jesus sees sin. I'm a Navy man. Most of you know that Jesus was a Navy man. Boats and ships, you know, there you go. Just thought that little theological insight would be helpful. So I belong to the same group that our Lord. You know, there you have it. Man, I have to deploy a lot. And deployments are 6 months, 6 months away from home. Lord have mercy. Okay? Brenda would give me the speech before we'd leave. They separated. She said, darling, you know I love you. You know, you are my heart. But I know there are temptations in the ports where you're going to. And I just want you to know that I will be here for you with arms open wide when you return. Now, why do you want to do that to me? Why do you want to mess up my mind before I get on the ship to go to sea? Now, that is a purifying speech. How you going to do a woman like that wrong? Whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm here for you. I love you no matter what. And I'm going to tell you, that's right. When we pull into port, we would man the rail. So you'd get out in your choker whites and you said so all of the people would see this powerful aircraft carrier coming in. You see the people out there. I would sometimes see enough just when the ship pulled in that I would tell my friends, I'm not leaving the ship in this port. The devil is a liar. I know we can go out, but I've seen enough already. You go on liberty, but just handcuff me to my bunk before you go. The devil is a liar. I got to get home. You're purified, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God, even as he is pure. We need to walk in the blessing of the blessed hope because the blessed hope brings optimism. Oh, how we need optimism in this crazy time in which you're living. Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says, now when these things, Boko Haram, when these things, ISIL, when these things, law enforcement agents gunning down people, 8 bullets in the back, when these things begin to happen, look up, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God, and lift up your head because your redemption draws near. I can get happy even when I see insanity all around me because I'm walking in the blessing, hallelujah, of the blessed hope. And then there's a third reason why you ought to walk in the blessing of the blessed hope, and that is the blessed hope brings comfort. Oh, you know it before I even quote it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I love this verse. It was intended for comfort. And anybody who's lost a loved one, you know what this verse will do. For the Lord himself. See, I want the same Jesus who fed the 5,000. That's the one I want. I want the same Jesus who opened up who raised a man who was dead 4 days. That's the Jesus. I want that same Jesus. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and Pearline Black Roan, and Lester Black, and Ella Black, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What a reunion that's going to be. I have the picture, that beautiful painting of the second coming of Christ. It's in my office. When you walk into my office, the first thing you see is that beautiful picture. You know, there's a graveyard there, and children are being reunited with their parents. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And the passage ends, therefore comfort one another with these words. There is comfort when you're walking in the blessing of the blessed hope. What a blessing it is that even in the face of death, you know that this is not the end. This is not the end. E.V. Hill, a great preacher, delivered the eulogy at his wife's funeral. She had said to him before she died, "You are my pastor, and I expect you to deliver the eulogy at my funeral." It is one of the greatest sermons. They used to play it on Focus on the Family. James Dobson was very enamored by that message. The topic, my wife's death from a biblical perspective. Took his text from Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How in the world can you do that? It's because you know that death is not the end. You know you will be reunited with loved ones again. And then there's a fourth blessing that we receive when we walk in the blessings of the blessed hope, and that is the blessed hope brings us motivation to work for the kingdom of God. You know Matthew 24:14, and this gospel, hallelujah, of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then, praise God, turn out the lights. The party's over. Then the end will come. Now, I told you last week I don't like to fly. The Bible says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. But I'm not. But you know, I get on planes and fly sometimes for 24 straight hours on a plane because of the Great Commission and because of the doors that are open because of where God has placed me. And so I get on there knowing that my times are in the hands of God. So walk in the blessing of the blessed hope. Don't be walking around without the exhilaration of the presence of Christ. The second coming is not something to fear. It is something to revel in. Oh, bless his name. That is why Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above. That is why the members of the early church greeted one another with what word that begins with an M? Maranatha. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, our blessed Lord was in the upper room. And he had just told Peter, you're going to deny me three times this very night. Peter said, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, Pete, you don't want him to call your name twice. Pete, Martha, you know, you don't want that. Bad news. You're going to deny me three times. He said, Lord, why you want to diss me like that? I'm trying to encourage the other brethren. That's what it says in the Greek. Why are you going to diss? Come on, boo. You know, hey, I'm just, you know, three times that very night. That's like saying, you know, the man who is preaching to you will deny me three times. Now, that'll bring despondency on the listeners. And so, John 14, verse 1. That's the context of John 14. Jesus said, let not your heart say, there you go. I knew I had an Adventist crowd here. You believe in God? In my hallelujah to the Lamb of God. If it were not so, that I, and if I will, and that where, how would you like to live in Jesus's neighborhood? Lord have mercy. Now, let's unpack this pericope and then I'll be out of your way. If you are going to walk in the blessings of the blessed hope, manage your anxiety. Let not your hearts be troubled. You cannot control the external forces that come at you, but you can control your response to whatever the devil sends at you. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Jesus could not have said to us, let not your hearts be troubled if I do not have control over my affect. That is why in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. It means that if I go home and there's a note on the refrigerator, Brenda is an elder at the Woodbridge Seventh-day Adventist Church, and she has double elder's duty today. She just got back from the Bay Area. I go home, and Elder Brenda Black has a note on the refrigerator saying, honey, I'm sorry, I just can't take it any longer. I know this has blindsided you because I never even brought it up, but I am leaving you for good. The first words out of my mouth should be, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that scripture? In everything. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. You can rewind that and fix that, get tape it. I don't need that. We don't want that on the DVD. No, not on the DVD. Okay, fix that. You people in the audio visual, that cut that part out of the Right there. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I may be a little crazy, but I'm not stupid. Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Manage your emotions. Come here, Shunammite, and talk to the people. And the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 says, I did my best for the preacher, had a little money, even built an extra room on my house for him so that he could put his Ellen White commentaries out when he came into town, a little bookcase there, set him up nicely. He said he wanted to bless me. God wanted to bless me, gave me a child, but my child, when he grew up, went out in the field and had some type of heat stroke. He cried out, my head, my head. He died on my lap. I had them carry my baby up to the room, put him in the bed, in the guest bedroom that I had built for the prophet. Said, get my mule, I'm going to see that preacher. And my husband, who was spiritually obtuse, said, why are you going to see that pastor? It's not Wednesday night prayer meeting time. It's not. He didn't understand, but I said, I'm going to see him. And as I came toward him, Elisha looked up and saw me coming and said to Gehazi, his servant, yonder comes the Shunammite. That's it, that's 2 Kings chapter 4. I want you to ask her three questions. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with the child? I'm talking about, let not your hearts be troubled. What would be your answer? You got a dead child on the bed of God's prophet. He wants to know, is it well with you? He wants to know, is it well with the child? And girlfriend took it to another level. Her response to Gehazi was, it is. It is well. Manage your response to the craziness of our world. Second thing God told me to tell you, if you're going to walk in the blessings of the blessed hope, prepare to never be shut out again. Prepare to never be shut out again. In my Father's house, there's plenty of good room. I know what it is to be shut out. I know what it is to try to worship on Sabbath and be turned away from the church. I know what it is to be lectured by a lieutenant colonel retired with white hair for parking in the admiral spot. Son, what are you doing? Don't you understand? You don't park. That's for admiral, son. Now, would you please move your car? I know what it is to be shut out. I know what it is to be stopped for walking while black and spread-eagled over a police car and frisk. And when I hand my ID with incredulity, the sergeant says, you are a Navy commander? And my response is, what does the card say? And his response is, well, sir, I apologize, but we received 4 phone calls that a black man was walking in this neighborhood. And there was concern that you might be casing the homes for possible burglary. We're sorry, Commander. I know what it is to be shut out. I know what it is to be shut out, but I serve a Savior who also knows what it is to be shut out. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Deutero-Isaiah cried out in the 53rd chapter. For he was brought up among us as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. He was despised. Oh, he knows what it is to be shut out. There was not even room in the inn for my Lord. He is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. He was tested in every way that I can be tested. And then some. And he says, Barry, there's a place for you. Pastor Wright, I am tired of being shut out. Standing at an ATM machine in Brussels. Forgot where my hotel was. Asked the man in French, could he tell me the location of a certain hotel? He turns around, takes a look at me, and flees like I'm going to rob him. And I say, Europe too? I know what it is to be shut out. But oh, one of these old days, I'm going to sit in a land beyond sun, moon, and stars, where the days know neither dawn nor darkness. There'll be people there from every nation, kindred, tribe, people. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. And there'll be plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I'm getting ready to never be shut out again. Oh, I feel God in this place. And then there's a third thing that he told me to tell you. He said, trust God's word. If it were not so, I wouldn't have spoken it. You see, Jesus is the word made flesh. You got to trust the word of God. 119 Psalm 105, it is a lamp for our feet. It is a light for our path. 119 Psalm 99, I have more wisdom than all of my teachers because I meditate upon your word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed, pneuma. And profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. You can take the word of God to the bank. I've lived many decades, and there's one thing I am certain of. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Jesus said, you think I'm going to tell you a lie? I don't have to lie. In fact, I cannot lie because if I speak, it is done. Whatever I say is done. By the word of the Lord, the 33rd Psalm, were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake and it was done. Trust God's word if you're going to walk in the blessing of the blessed hope. Oh, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see the word made flesh coming back again. Daniel had so much confidence. Pastor spoke on Daniel 2 in their morning service. Daniel had so much confidence in the word of God that when the handwriting appeared on the wall with Belshazzar, and Daniel had been completely marginalized in his ministry. King Belshazzar didn't even know who Daniel was. Once Daniel's name had been in lights, but now Belshazzar doesn't know Daniel. The queen mother says, there's a man in your kingdom in whom dwells the spirit of the Most High God. Daniel knew where we were in that image in Daniel 2. He walked in. Belshazzar said, let me give you some gifts before you interpret the handwriting. Daniel said, keep your gifts. You're not going to be king long enough for it to even matter. And then Daniel gives the youthful monarch a history lesson. Said, son, you remember your granddaddy, Nebuchadnezzar. Your father was Nabonidus. You remember how he stood up and looked out over the hanging gardens of Babylon and with arrogance declared, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? You remember how the sovereign God of the universe cut him down until he had to eat grass like an ox. But you, O Belshazzar, though you knew these things, you had the unmitigated gall to take Jack Daniels. That's what it says in the Aramaic. You take Jack Daniels. You got to know these biblical languages, folks. You take Smirnoff and pour it into the sacred vessels of God. But Daniel said, that's all right. I'll be all right. The Babylonian Empire implodes. The Medo-Persian Empire emerges. And Daniel becomes essentially the prime minister of the new kingdom. Look at God. Became prime minister because Daniel was connected with God and his word. Right now, Tacoma, we are down in the feet of iron and clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. What will the next grand occasion be? Christ and his coming and eternity. It won't be long. We're going to be leaving here. Oh, but I'm so glad that I can trust God's word. I can trust it because everywhere I move in the Bible, I bump into the author of his word. In Genesis, we call him Shiloh. In Exodus, we call him the I Am. In Numbers, we call him the Star and Scepter. In Deuteronomy, we call him the Rock. I heard Joshua call him Captain of the Lord's Host. Job called him the Redeemer. Psalms called him the Great Shepherd. Proverbs called him the Beloved. Isaiah said, he's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Micah said he is the one who's going forth of old is from everlasting to everlasting. I can trust this book because he's all through the book. Malachi said he's the messenger of the covenant. Matthew said Savior. Mark said Son of Man. Luke said the great physician. Acts said he's the one who will mobilize us to witness. Philippians says at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can bow now or you can bow later, but you will bow. 1 Thessalonians says he's coming back again. Hebrews says he's the great high priest, touched with the feelings of my infirmities, in all points tempted like me, yet without sin. And Jude says he's able to keep me from falling and present me without fault, without blemish, before the presence of his glory with unspeakable ecstatic delight in triumphant joy and exultation. And John says, I was in the spirit on a Saturday. I saw him high and lifted up. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is beginning. He is ending. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him. Somebody ought to crown him. Somebody ought to crown him. Lord of all. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Put your hands together. Give him praise and glory in this place. He's worthy. He
is worthy.
Oh, bless his name today. Oh, bless his name today. Oh, bless his name today. He is worthy of our praise. And he's coming back. He's coming back. It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. We'll be going home. I don't know about you, Tacoma Park, but I can't wait. I can't wait to see my Savior. I can't wait to cast my crown at his feet. I can't wait in that land of many rooms to cry, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now I want to make an appeal. I want to make an appeal. Because for so many of us, as I said, this has not been a blessed hope. Some of us have been terrified by the coming of the Lord. But it's about being blood bought. We get to heaven the same way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to make an appeal to three groups. First group, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, who has never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I made that commitment when I was 10 years of age. It was the best decision I've ever made. F.L. Peterson, some of you remember him, was the preacher that day. Second group I want to appeal to is someone who has made the commitment to Jesus Christ but wandered away. Today, if you're honest, you're a prodigal in a pig pen. And you need to come back to Jesus today. The third group I want to appeal to is someone who made the commitment, is not a prodigal, but the light of God's Sabbath truth has come to you. And you know that the one commandment, the fourth, that God tells us to remember is the one that most people are trying to forget. You know that the seventh day is the Sabbath. And by the grace of God, you want to walk in that light. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And if you are a person who wants to make Jesus your Lord and Savior for the first time, if you are a backslider, a prodigal in a pig pen, if you are someone who wants to walk in the additional light of God's Sabbath truth, I want you to step out where you are. I want you to come down this aisle. I want you to give me your hand, and I want you to give God your heart, whether in the balcony or on the floor. This is your time to walk in the blessing of the blessed hope. Won't you come, man, woman, boy, girl? Jesus calling you right now. Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah.